Welcome, everybody, to a Baseball America Draft podcast. I'm Connor Glassy, and joining me today is Nathan Rohde. And we're finally back in beautiful Durham, North Carolina, after a busy summer out on the road.
Yeah, absolutely. You've been on the West Coast for a few weeks. I've been in and out of the office, going to Lakeland for East Coast Pro, and it's been a crazy summer, and it's finally winding down.
Yeah. So we're picking up where we left off. The last time you and I did a draft podcast, it was right after Tournament Stars and after the college national team was here. So since then, you've been out to East Coast Pro. That was your first time out there. I went out to the Area Code games, and that was my first time out there. So, you know, just tell everybody what East Coast Pro was like. How was that experience for you?
It was way too hot.
Yeah. I tried to warn you.
I know, but I don't think any warning can really prepare you for that. So I was telling people all week that the only time that I can actually remember being hotter, I was in the Amazon jungle. So it was pretty crazy. Triple digit heat index every day, yeah. Humidity like crazy. But
just cooks out there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and there's no shade. No,
I think the best advice I gave you was pretty much steal all the towels from your hotel and bring them to the park, because you're going to need them, not just for sweat, but to lay around, you pretty much have to create a barrier of towels around you so that you don't burn your skin from
you can't sit on the
metal seats
or rest your arms.
The zipper on your bag, that's the one that got me. Right on the underside of your arm. Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty miserable. And the fact that it's moving to Syracuse next year, we don't know obviously who's going yet, but I'm sure that'll be much nicer. But the talent there was very good. I was glad to see some of the arms, again, kind of get a second look at them, or an eighth look, with Lance McCullers.
Yeah.
It was also good to see some of the hitters that I had not seen before. I had only heard about them. Some guys that really jump out are like David Dahl. He's a left-handed hitting outfielder, and we saw him at Tournament of Stars for 2 days, and then he just disappeared. And
right.
It turns out that after the second day he came down with mononucleosis.
Yeah, because I remember really liking him at PG National. I was like, hey, you got to check this guy out, but then he was barely there. So
yeah,
you didn't get a great look at him at
didn't get
TOS.
A good look at all at him. I mean, I can go back and look at my notes. I might not even have anything written down.
Right.
So he had mono and he missed 5 weeks, and his first action back was East Coast Pro. He got cleared to play and went right into East Coast Pro, almost no warm-up, and he told me he was playing at 80%. And if that was 80%, I'd love to see 100%, because
yeah,
it was pretty good. The guy has showed five tools. He showed that he can run, he can hit for power, he can play defense, and he's got arm strength, because he threw a guy out of the plate from right field on an absolute frozen rope to the plate. So
it's a pretty swing, too.
Right. It's a good swing, and, when we were watching some of the ACC tournament, and we had all those scouting directors and cross-checkers standing around us as we approached the draft, I was talking to one of the scouting directors about the difference between certain high school hitters and which one do you like, and we were talking about Cam Gallagher versus Derek Fisher, and he told me, when you see a guy like Derek Fisher, take him, left-handed hitter, and look at what he can do to the opposite field. If he can hit the ball with authority to the opposite field, you've got something. And David Dahl did that. He really hammered some balls to the opposite field, and also showed the ability to pull the ball with power. So, that kind of stuck out in my mind as being reminded from a scouting director about that. And so he definitely is one that sticks out. Lewis Brinson.
I think going to the opposite field for hitters is kind of like showing feel for a changeup for pitchers.
Right, absolutely.
The fastball is the pull power, and everybody, all the main guys can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can go opposite field with authority, that really, shows the scout something.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to line it up, for comparison's sake. But Lewis Brinson, you want to talk about power, holy cow.
Yeah.
This guy has huge raw power. When he walked past me, this was the first time I had seen him. I had heard about him, how toolsy he was and how athletic he was, and he walked past me, and it was just, wow.
The specimen.
It's that Dexter Fowler, Dominic Brown, trim, frame that you think, okay, if it stays like that, it's good. But if he fills out, holy cow, he could be a monster.
Cameron Maben was a guy that came to mind.
And that's
for me.
Exactly it. That's another guy. Like, Cameron Maben, you see him in high school and you call him projectable, and he's definitely stronger than he was in high school, but he's still kind of that trim, you know, wiry strength guy. So yeah. Brinson can be that, or he can fill out and just be a behemoth of a guy.
Yeah.
But he's got a quick bat, just big raw power, but he's raw. So there's a lot to his game that he needs to kind of polish, but he's one of those guys that you really dream on what he could become if he hits.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's a high-risk, high-reward guy.
He's got those long limbs, so he can look bad at the plate when he gets jammed, mm-hmm. but then when he gets extended and gets his arms into it, ball just goes. I mean, he won mm-hmm. the Under Armour Home Run Derby out mm-hmm. there in Chicago right after, you know, you saw him down there at East Coast Pro.
Right, yeah. So he's... you know, he's good. And then I have a guy that's a sleeper for me that, you know, I really took a liking to on the first day. And then on day two, I was talking to a scout, and he was like, hey, you know who I really like? And it was the same guy. It was Devon.
It's always a good feeling.
I know. It's a great feeling when the scout comes up and says, you know who I really like? And it's the same guy that you're thinking of. It's Devon McClure. He's a kid from, I think it's Jacksonville High School in Arkansas. You know, he's an outfielder. He's a good runner. He's probably not, you know, above like a 60 and above average runner, but he's kind of in that 55 to 60 range where, you know, he'll rip off a good 60 time, like a 6.7. But, you know, if he gets stronger and fills out some, maybe he slows down a tick, but he can run, you know, yep. He's a good runner. But he really handled the bat well. You know, he squared a lot of balls up, and there's a lot of whip to the bat. You know, the bat really gets through the zone, and he shows that he can really hit the ball at all fields. The fact that he squared balls up consistently, you know, that really stuck out for me. So
yeah.
he's going to be an interesting one to watch.
He an outfielder?
See how he's an outfielder.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he develops and track his progress, not only through the fall, but, you know, into the spring.
Okay. Yeah. So right after right after you were out there at East Coast Pro, I went down to Erico Games. It was my first time down there. And I know I was loving pestering you with text messages telling you how nice the weather was.
About threw my phone through a wall.
It was pretty much the exact opposite of East Coast Pro in terms of weather. It was perfect. A little chilly, actually. I mean, I had to wear a jacket most of the time. It was about 70, 75 degrees. Can't complain. But there was some really good talent out there as well. There were a lot of top guys missing from like the Southeast. A lot of the top Florida, Georgia guys weren't there. Some of the North Carolina, South Carolina guys weren't there. But overall, it's a great event because you've got guys from all over the country,
mm-hmm.
and the teams are picked by scouts. So mm-hmm. it's not one of these pay-to-play events. So it's the cream of the crop, pretty much, aside from a few guys who wanted to rest up for whatever reason. But, you know, a couple of the guys that stood out for me, there was actually... I think coming into earlier in the summer, we thought that catching might be a weakness in this class. But there were a few guys out there that really jumped out. I think I wrote about catchers 3 days in a row on the blog. So two of those guys, Wyatt Matheson, is a catcher from Cal Allen High School in Texas. And he's interesting because he was catching down there. But normally for his high school team, he plays shortstop and pitches because he's so athletic. They feel that's better for them is to use him out there at shortstop.
You see high school teams. You know, the best athlete plays shortstop because it's the most important position for a high school team, and, you know, your best athlete's going to be able to handle it. So
exactly.
It's not surprising.
Exactly. But, you know, catcher is, like, his natural position. So he was back there, and obviously he was a little bit rusty back there because he told me he hadn't been back there in 5 months. So, but you can really see the athleticism and the strength and the – you know, the arm strength, really play for him back there. And I think, you know, he has a shot to at least, you know, start out back there. I mean, I think there is some work that still needs to be done just because he hasn't done it too much over the past few years. But the tools are definitely there. And he showed a strong bat as well. He hammered the ball and mentioned to me that he might even try switch hitting this fall.
Interesting.
Just it was really funny. He was like, in the fall, you know, me and my friends, we just kind of goof around. We play some tennis. And, you know, that backhanded hit in tennis, I really think I could do some switch hitting in baseball. So he's gonna give it a shot. We'll see if that pans out or not.
I think for a surprise when he steps in the cage as opposed to the tennis court. But
that'll be interesting to follow. Another kid was Clint Coulter. Really strong kid from Washington State, down there in the Vancouver area, close to Portland. But big, strong kid, and he's kind of the opposite of Matheson in that he used to play shortstop, and now he's just learning how to catch. He's only been catching for a couple years now, but he has a good mentor. His high school coach is former big league catcher Tom Lampkin. I don't know if you remember Tom Lampkin. I do, of course, because he played for the Mariners for a while. I think he played in the big leagues 15 or 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
So good guy to have on your side when you're trying to learn the ins and outs of the position. But physical kid, and just crushed the ball all week. Hit the ball really hard. Even his outs were hit hard. I'm pretty sure, you know, I did that article about TrackMan, about the company that was recording all the data out there, mm-hmm. with the spin rate and things like that. And he was one of the guys that had the most consistent, you know, top exit speeds off the bat throughout the whole week. So just hit the ball hard out there. And one other position player was Vincent Jackson. We actually had seen him a little bit this summer at one of the events. But I know
he's
saw him
East
somewhere.
Coast Pro. I remember seeing him there.
Okay.
He definitely is athletic and looks strong.
Yeah.
He didn't have a great week there, but you could see that there was something in there.
Yeah.
That, you know, there were the ingredients that, you know, if he puts it together,
that specimen. Was sort of the same out here at Erie Coast. I mean, I don't think he's a, you know, top guy, but just has enough there to be really interesting. He has that lean, wiry build, kind of like Brinson. I mean, he's 6'4", 180 pounds. So he's a guy that even among all these players that are the top guys from around the country, he stands out physically. You look at him and go, wow, you know, I want to know who that guy is, because it's a great build. There's still room for projection and strength there. And, you know, to his advantage, he's left-left. He's not right-right like Brinson is. He's left-left, which is interesting, and the ball really jumps off his bat. So he's a guy that I think, just if he adds some strength, you know, and can add a little more power, he's going to be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then a pitcher that jumped out to me out there that I hadn't seen at all was Freddie Avis from Menlo High School in California. This was actually the first year that Northern California got their own team at Erie Coast. Usually they've just sprinkled in some Northern Cal guys into the two Southern California teams.
Mm-hmm.
But Northern California is kind of coming on as a hotbed. I mean, a lot of those guys end up going to college, but there's some really good names coming out of Northern California. I mean, you've got Pat Burrell, Brett Wallace, most of the Stanford guys
Brandon
end
Bosch,
up being NorCal guys. Yeah, Brandon Bosch and Jason Castro.
David
and
Cooper's from up there.
Brandon Crawford. Yeah.
And Menlo School is where the DeKrogers went.
Sure, yeah. So it's, you know, I think having a NorCal team is justified. And Freddie Avis is a right-hander that went out there. He's got a great build. He's 6'2", 180, really quick arm. And he was, he sat 992, but he was, you know, one of only six guys to touch 93 or better out there. He touched 93. And there was, you know, like 100 pitchers out there. So that was pretty impressive. And in his two innings of work, he only gave up one single, which was actually to Vincent Jackson. So
I apologize. Brendan Bosch went to Harvard Westlake in SoCal, but he went to
Cal.
Right.
That's right.
So that's why I associate him with NorCal.
Yeah. But Brett mm-hmm. Jackson's from up there. So those were a few of the guys that jumped out to me in terms of guys that hadn't seen too much, you know, the rest of the summer. So that's that.
So we have some questions from some Twitter guys. Do you have the
No. I know. Okay, the first question is from Super Reader Joe Lacates, and he wants to know who are, you know, he says, you know, it's early, but who are the top five high school pitchers in this class, and who are the top five high school hitters? Now, you and I have kind of, I don't think we have a consensus on this just yet.
Yeah, we don't have a consensus yet, and even when I say them, I don't have them in order, because I'm still trying to figure it out.
So we're just spitballing here, Joe. We're gonna throw out some names, but like you said, it's early, and you know we haven't even really started to run these by teams yet. You know, we haven't really put together our list or anything like that just yet. But for me, the top five pitchers that stand out are Lucas Giolito, Lance McCullers, Lucas Sims, and then Walker Weichel and maybe Max Fried. But you know, even then, you know, I listed those five, and I'm like, well, it leaves out some really good guys. I mean, Taylor Cherry, Hunter Verrant, Ty Hensley.
Mm-hmm.
How about you? What do you think about top pitchers? You
well,
agree
for
with
the
those
pitchers,
guys?
Lucas Giolito,
yeah.
Lance McCullers, right off the bat, you know, stand out. I said Hunter Verrant.
Yep.
And I love Walker Weichel. You know,
yeah.
He's not a premium velocity guy, but when you look at, aside from a guy like Lucas Giolito, when you look at the other guys near that top, I think he's the best package of a guy that has a chance at starting. Even though he's not like a, you know, up to a 95-96 guy, he's like
not yet,
89-92, but,
yeah.
But he's got the frame, you know, 6'6", 200 pounds, still some more room.
Throws strikes, downhill, mixes the pitches.
And a good curveball.
Yeah.
So I really, really like Walker Weichel. So he's in there
yeah.
for me. I also mentioned, you know, Max Fried as being up there, you know, one of the top
yeah.
left-handers. I haven't seen Taylor Cherry pitch yet, but from everything I hear, you know, he's definitely in that discussion.
Right up there, right up
so
there in that
Lucas
mix.
Sims,
yeah.
I think, is in that discussion as well. So
yeah.
No one's really separated themselves. Yeah, I mean, you definitely have the guys at the top like Giolito and McCullers from, you know, the velocity standpoint and pure stuff. Excuse me. But after that, it really is kind of muddled right now.
It
and
is.
That's not a bad thing. You know, there's that, I think it's a deep class.
I
just think, you know, it hasn't been really defined yet.
Yeah. No, I do too. And you know, Hunter Verrant and Max Fried are really close, I think. You know, they both have kind of points in their favor, and they're really close. I think that debate will probably carry on into the spring because I think they're kind of neck and neck. But
Verrant hasn't been pitching as long.
That's right.
So
that's
he
right.
might have a little more upside.
Yeah, but Max Fried was actually one of those guys that touched 93 at Erie Codes.
Mm-hmm.
So him and Giolito are going to be nasty combination.
Yeah, if you've been following our high school blog or us on Twitter, you know that Max Fried, his high school, Montclair Prep in Van Nuys, California, cut its entire athletic program. And what they're – obviously there's a lot – we know what's going on with the economy around
yeah.
the country. And, you know, it's hitting the education system as well, especially in Southern California. I always hear from coaches out there talking about budget cuts here and there. And, you know, so Montclair Prep, in order to, I guess, try to save some money, not only did they cut in their entire athletic program, but they went from being a 7th grade to 12th grade school to a 9th through 12th grade school.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, some of these kids that, you know, are athletes have to – they're essentially free agents, but other coaches can't call them because of, you know, recruiting rules. But the early speculation was, and now is true, that Max Fried is going to go to Harvard-Westlake and be in the same rotation as Lucas Giolito, which takes Harvard-Westlake from being, you know, a good school with, you know, a couple of prospects. You know, you got Lucas Giolito and then, you know, some underclassmen to talk about, to now having the best rotation in the country.
yeah.
And that should make things very interesting in Southern California. I can't imagine a team in their conference really coming close to challenging
them. I
feel
sorry for the hitters in that league.
Yeah, especially when, you know, one of their rising sophomores was their number two, is going to be now their number three, and he was one of the best freshmen in the country last year in Jack Flaherty. So that should be a lot of fun to keep an eye on, see what Harvard-Westlake does with that pitching duo.
No doubt.
So, but getting back to the rest of Joe's question with hitters.
Oh, yeah, hitters. That's a lot harder. it was easier for me to whip out the pitchers' names just because there is that group of guys that have kind of emerged as the top tier. Hitters was tougher. Hitters, and I think, you know, hitters just in general are tougher to evaluate. I think that's part of what plays into it. But I also, you know, we're not seeing a Bo Starling this year. There's nobody that's jumping out head and shoulders above
mm-hmm.
the rest of the pack like Bubba did last year.
Or
so
Manny Machado the year before.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to reel off my names. I think your names are a little different.
All right.
Okay, and again, this is in no order. These are just the guys that came to mind. But I got Gavin Cecchini,
mm-hmm.
David Dahl, who we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I went with Trey Williams and Nick Williams, although both I think are pretty tough to evaluate for different reasons. And then I stuck with Carlos Correa, who I think, you know, I saw him pretty good down there at PG National. I think you said he wasn't quite as good out there at East Coast Pro.
Mm-hmm.
But those are my five right now. And there's another group of guys that didn't make the cut that I think could easily, you know, be argued into that group.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we're close.
We'll get to those names later, but who did you go with?
We had three out of five similar. I
okay.
had Gavin Cecchini, Rio Ruiz, Jesse Winker, and those last two are the ones that are different from you. But then I also have David Dahl, and Nick Williams.
Yeah.
So those are my guys right now, but, you know, like you said, there's a lot of other guys.
And you haven't seen Trey.
I haven't seen Trey Williams. That's yeah. And that's the reason I left him out, is I haven't really seen him in person yet to really, you know, get a good look at him. But from everything I hear, he is absolutely in that discussion.
Yeah. He, you know, the thing about, well, talk about Nick Williams first, because Nick Williams I've seen more, and he's kind of a confusing prospect, because he'll do things out there that really make you go, wow, that's unbelievable. I mean, you know, just some of the bat speed he shows, even sometimes his outs are impressive, just because it's like he just missed that ball, and mm-hmm. it was towering. If it had just been, you know,
like a 16th of an inch.
Yeah, just a tick higher up. I mean, that ball would have been gone. But, you know, Nick Williams and Trey Williams both hit really impressive opposite field home runs this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that earlier, about, you know, going opposite field. Nick Williams, it was at Tournament of Stars. I think he got, like, brushed back, gets back in there, and smokes a line drive down the left field line for an opposite field home run that just made you go, wow. That was a game we were broadcasting, doing
right,
the webcast.
So I remember that one, yeah.
And then Trey Williams, you know, I had heard all these things coming in. He's one of these top names coming in this year, so I had high expectations for him, you know. And then his batting practice down there at PG, it just looked okay. He looked a little tight. He looked like he was trying to impress too much, or, you know, trying to live up to those expectations. But then gets into the game and just goes with a pitch and sends a missile out to right center. So that was my brief look at Trey Williams. So, you know, both those guys have done things that make you kind of scratch your head. I mean, Nick Williams is pretty raw. I mean, he'll slide back into first base, feet first. He takes some really poor routes in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
But he also does things that really impress you. And, you know, Trey is a little bit the same way. I haven't seen him as much, obviously, as Nick. But, you know, that opposite field home run stands out for me. So we'll see. I need to bear down and ask guys around the country who have seen them a little bit more than, you know, more than we have, and are much smarter than we are, to kind of figure out
the ones
where,
that actually
where these guys
do this
are gonna,
for a living.
Yeah, to figure out where these guys are going to rank when we rank them. Because, I mean, this is just us spitballing right here. Obviously, when we do our top, you know, top 100 high school list or whatever list we do for the draft, we run those things by scouts and by professionals who are out there doing this for a living and not just writing about it like we are. So this is just us kind of throwing some names out there. But, those two other guys you talked about would definitely be in that top mix for me. I think I also wrestle out, you know, Carson Kelly has really, really impressed me this year. And I think, mm-hmm. You know, he's actually one of the legit two-way guys.
Yeah, I like Kelly on the mound.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I really like him. I really like him both ways, actually. But I think I like him better as a hitter. Lewis Brinson, who we talked about, Byron Buxton, and then, of course, Joey Gallo, who hit that mammoth home run at the All-American game down there in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of good hitters this year, and a lot of good pitchers, too. So I think it's a deep class, which is what we've been saying since the beginning of the summer, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely think it's very deep, and it's going to be interesting to see how the talent plays out. And I think you said that there was one other question
about... let's see. I think
Lance McCullers and Stetson Alley.
Okay, yeah, I guess it's not showing up for you, but it's from Pat Hickey. He wanted to ask, how would you compare Lance McCullers to Stetson Alley at the same, you know, at the same stage?
It's an interesting comparison, because if you haven't seen them in person and you're just kind of reading about him, the things that stick out are fastball velocity and lack of command, and they certainly have those similarities. But I don't think you can – they're not a comp for one another. Lance McCullers has a bit different body type. Stetson Alley is definitely like barrel-chested, big kid. Lance McCullers is physical, but not as big as
yep.
Stetson Alley
yep.
was in high school. You know, certainly he'll get stronger in pro ball, but, you know, he's not the same size as Stetson Alley. They both have incredible fastball velocity, you know, going from, you know, 92 to 97. I think Stetson Alley touches a little bit higher, but I think their fastball velos are pretty comparable.
Yeah.
For me, the the secondary stuff is different. Stetson Alley had that plus slider, whereas Lance McCullers has the plus curveball. You know, those two pitches, I think it's arguable which one is better between the two. But for me, McCullers has a third pitch and a changeup that could be a plus pitch, whereas Stetson Alley really is just the fastball slider guy. And while McCullers' command is by no means, you know, pinpoint, it's better than Stetson Alley's. You know, yeah. I know McCullers throws a lot of pitches and, you know, can get a little erratic, but Stetson Alley was all over the place and still is. Yeah. So I think his command is a lot worse than where McCullers is now. So that being said, it still is an interesting comparison. I think
we both take McCullers pretty easily.
I don't know how easy it is. I think it's fair to say that both are likely back of the bullpen, you know, power relievers. But I think McCullers has a better shot between the two to start.
I agree with that.
I don't think that, you know, is going out on a limb at all. But I don't think McCullers is a slam dunk to start either.
Right.
So also Stetson Alley, I think, was
has he pitched 200 innings in his life?
Right, exactly. You know, and that's the thing. It's hard to say what they're going to do until they actually get into pro ball and show you.
Yeah.
But the other thing too that stood out for me is Stetson Alley was pretty free and easy, and there's some effort to McCullers. It's almost max effort. You know, his hat doesn't fall off and his shirt doesn't come untucked. but it's by no means free and easy. But whereas Stetson Alley was a little more along those lines. So while you see the velocity and the lack of command being similarities between those two, I think that's about where it stops.
Yeah.
So.
And the fact that they both try to play shortstop and like to hit
when this is true.
The future for them is definitely on the mound. But.
Yeah, they're absolutely both mound guys.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well. That wraps us up. If we don't have any other Twitter questions rolling in.
Don't see any more rolling in right now. So.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to another Baseball America Draft Podcast. He's Nathan. I'm Connor. And remember that Baseball America is a must-read for baseball fans from high school to the big leagues. And now you can try 4 issues for just $4 by visiting www.baseballamerica.com/MLB Network for this special offer. And we thank MLB Network for providing readers with that special offer. 4 issues for $4 is a heck of a deal. So thanks again for listening. Have a great weekend.